And from the studios of Free Radio Santa Cruz, you're listening to Earth First Radio. Stay tuned for No Compromise news, views, poetry, and music.
You're cutting chainsaws, killing the trees, something, everything that lives in peace. Our animal friends are on the run, but there's nowhere to go when the job is done.
And welcome to Earth First Radio. I'm Uncle Dennis. Every week I bring you No Compromise news, views, poetry, and music for activists on the front lines of the environmental movement. In the news, you'll hear about folks who are killing the planet and folks who have detailed information about saving what's left. They all have names, addresses, phone numbers, fax numbers, email, and web addresses, so please go get a pencil or a pen and some recycled paper to write down the information, because this isn't couch potato radio. It's activist radio, and I urge you to take down the information and act on it. You really can make a difference by writing letters, sending faxes, making phone calls, and doing all that other kind of stuff when you aren't out in the woods, up in a tree or a tripod, or locked down at the Dragon on the road blockade. If you do have information, announcements, or comments for Earth First Radio, we'd love to get them. Please keep a pencil or a pen handy and listen for the contact addresses later on in the show. And as always, we're right on into announcements here. Coming up in the San Francisco Bay Area is the 23rd Annual Bay Area Environmental Education Resource Fair here in California. And that's going to take place on Saturday, January 8th next year at the Marin Civic Center in San Rafael from 10 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Admission is real reasonable, and you'll get to discover the latest in classroom materials, environmental education programs, and field trip sites. Join in the fun and attend our workshops, introducing conservation techniques, wildlife education, and personal discovery. The event is designed for teachers, students, families, and all concerned about the environment. Once again, that's the 23rd Annual Bay Area Environmental Education Resource Fair, January 8th, that's a Saturday at Marin Civic Center in San Rafael, 10 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. And if you'd like more information, contact 510-657-4847. That's 510-657-4847. And announcing the Headwaters 9th Annual Forest Activist Conference, February 3rd through 6th. Come join hundreds of forest activists for the Headwaters Annual Forest Activist Conference in Ashland, Oregon. Once again, that's February 3rd through 6th, under the title Organizing for Political Success. If you want more information, contact Tanya at 541-482-4459. That's 541-482-4459. And just got this announcement in on the email today, the Glen Canyon Restoration Rally. And it's going to be held at Glen Canyon Dam on March 14th of next year, celebrating the International Day of Action Against Dams and the campaign to drain Lake Fowl. Once again, March 14th at Glen Canyon Dam. You'll hear more about that. They're also going to commemorate Edward Abbey. Sounds like a great event. Coming up in Texas, in Austin, on January 7th is the Sea Turtle Rally. And it's a call for Governor Bush to create a marine sanctuary at Padre Island in Texas and to mourn for the 450 dead sea turtles and tell Bush that the sea turtles say no to the WTO. It's going to be at 11 a.m. January 7th at the Texas State Capitol, 11th and Congress Streets in Austin, Texas. You want more information? Contact the Sea Turtle Restoration Project, 415-488-0370. That's 415-488-0370. And ask for Terry Shore. Or if you're in Austin, want information, call Robert at 512-320-0413. That's 512-320-0413. Looking for a job? This is an internet job with the Heritage Forest Campaign's technology project. They're looking for someone to organize an internet-based interactive strategic project of environmental communication and information technology. Yeah, $30,000 to $40,000 you could get for doing this. Professional development opportunities, paid vacation, health care, retirement benefits program, and you'll have to live in Washington, D.C. Want to apply? Send an email with your cover letter and resume to Sharon Smith. Her email address is Sharon, S-H-A-R-O-N, at egroup.org. That's Sharon at egroup.org, and they ask that those be ASCII text files. Here's another another job. It's a damn job. National nonprofit organization seeks an outreach coordinator for a campaign to remove 4 Northwestern dams. Coordinate the major endorsement drives, plan mailings, maintain computer records. You have to be organized, detail-oriented, good computer skills, salary in the mid-20s. Of course, you'll need a cover letter and a resume. Send it to Director Snake Campaign. And I guess that's Kathleen at taxpayer.net, K-A-T-H-L-E-E-N at taxpayer.net, Kathleen at taxpayer.net. Or you can call 202-546-8511. That's 202-546-8511. Here's another job. Earth Day Coordinator, Bay Area Action in Mountain View, California, is looking for a well-organized, outgoing, self-motivated individual to serve as the South Bay Earth Day 2000 coordinator. You can make up to $2,500 a month until May 15th of next year. And they want you to start as soon as possible. You're going to be organizing Earth Day. I guess you can figure that out. If you want this job, send a resume and a cover letter with 3 references to Susan Stansbury, Executive Director, Bay Area Action. The address, 265 Moffett Boulevard, Mountain View, California, 94043. That's Susan Stansbury, Executive Director, Bay Area Action, 265 Moffett Boulevard, Mountain View, California, 94043. Want more information? Try 650-625-1994. 650-625-1994. Sounds like a great job if you want Earth Day. Let's move right on into action news. Happy holidays from the Fall Creek Tree Sit. We are happy to announce that due to a recent court ruling, the ancient forests of Fall Creek are temporarily safe from the saws. However, our Tree Sit and 24-hour vigil, which began April 20th of 1998, that means they've been going a year and a half now, will continue until the Clark Timber Sale is canceled. We will be celebrating our second holiday season in the tip-top of some of the tallest, most beautiful Christmas trees in all of the Northwest. And media and visitors are always welcome, especially during our holiday celebration on this, a very important winter solstice. Well, I'm sorry, most people won't get this message until after the winter solstice, but seeing as how that was yesterday, but what the hell? Call 541-484-2997. That's 541-484-2997 for arrangements to visit the tree sitters. If you can't join us, please hold us and all the world's forests in your prayers on the solstice and Christmas and throughout the New Year's. Well, let's get right on to the biggest news of the day. Julia Butterfly is on the ground. On Saturday morning, December 18th, Julia Butterfly Hill came down from her perch 180 feet in the ancient redwood tree Luna after 2 years and a week living in the branches of a wondrous tree. Julia and others had been working on securing protection for Luna and a buffer area, and that agreement finally achieved all of the needed signatures and Luna is protected. Julia is formulating plans to continue public education and action on behalf of the ancient forest from the ground. And what we're going to do now is we're going to go right on over to tape two and listen to Julia's first moments on the ground.
Oh, we did it. We did it. Oh, my God. We are very blessed. It's the first time I've had to talk to this many people in person. I need to go and grab my phone. I'll be right back. This is the first time I've ever seen the trees from this angle in the daylight. She's even more beautiful than I thought.
Thanks for saving us.
We all did it. God. I can't imagine somebody wanting to go to jail. I don't understand how people can take chainsaws to things like this. I understand that all of us are governed by different values, and I understand that to some people I'm just a dirty tree-hugging hippie, but I can't imagine being able to take a chainsaw to something like this. I don't understand. I guess maybe it's the chainsaw that separates them from the tree. I think before anyone should ever be allowed to cut down trees like this, they should be mandated to live in it for 2 years. If they could still cut it down, I would have to say that there would be not a pulse in that person's body. I'm down here on the ground, and when I hiked up this mountain 2 years ago, I didn't expect to be hiking back down to cameras and to people and to reporters and a whole bunch of microphones. And I was kind of joking that I should have brought my phone with me and turned the other way and talked on the phone so that it would feel more like I've been doing for the last 2 years. I want to take a moment to thank all of the people who helped make this action happen. The press has been looking at me and listening to my voice, and I have been out there as a symbol, as a spokesperson, but it's so much more than me. There's no way I could have lived in a tree for 2 years without incredible support, from ground support crew to media support crew to the local communities who've donated food to keep me fed and solar panels to make my phone work so I could speak to, I'm sure, many of you over the last 2 years over the phone. To the national and international support that there is for the protection of this tree, I feel that each and every person was vital in that protection.
What was your goal, and do you think you have achieved it?
Yeah, well, you know, the goal when I first climbed up there was I wanted to do something for the forest. When I came out here in the summer of 97, I entered the ancient redwoods for the first time and had a life-altering experience. There's no way to be in the presence of these ancient beings and not have a new understanding of who we are as people and who we are as people walking on this earth. And a few weeks later, I found out that they were being destroyed. And so I knew I had to do something. And I didn't know what that something was going to be. I just knew I had to do something. And the first thing I came across that I could do was sit in a tree. That if nothing else, my body could gain a reprieve for an over 1,000-year-old ancient redwood tree. And then I climbed up into the tree, and I told some friends on the ground, I'll see you in a few weeks. And that was 2 years ago. And during those first few weeks, I came to the understanding that I needed to do more. That I had a very deep sense from the very depths of my beings that we must do more. We have to do more to stop the clear cuts, to stop the mudslides. And I decided that I would give my word to not touch the ground again, no matter what, until I had done everything I possibly could to make the world aware and get this area protected. And that's what I tried to do, and we did it.
Okay, they
want to
talk to
us. Oh. Sorry, I've been living in a tree for 2 years by myself with some squirrels and birds. This is a little much. That tree sit was begun in October of 1997, before I ever even came out here. And it was begun because people in base camp were hearing chainsaws right next to a mudslide that destroyed 7 families' homes. And they were shocked, and I was shocked when I found out. And they hiked up that intense mountain, and they found that beautiful 200-foot tall, nearly 15 feet in diameter at the base, over 1,000-year-old ancient redwood tree standing at the top, almost like a sentinel looking down at what people on the earth were doing, going, wait a minute, we've got to do something different. And activists heard the call of the trees and hiked up that mountain, and they decided that they would do a tree sit to bring attention to the destructive practices that do things like cause mudslides that destroys families' homes. My hope today is that Pacific Lumber Maxam Corporation recognizes that we have to do things differently, that we can't keep clear-cutting, we cannot keep dumping herbicide and diesel fuel, we cannot keep cutting on steep hillsides that slide away and destroy people's homes, that there's something greater than a profit, and that's life. And we have to begin recognizing the intrinsic and vital value of life that no amount of money can ever replace. And to me, that's what the Tree Sit has been all about. And my hope is that Pacific Lumber, in agreeing to this protection, has seen that no matter what our differences, we can find our common ground. And that we as people can learn to work together to find the solutions. There's a lot of conflict, and there's a lot of problems. There's a lot of anger and frustration and sadness in our world. And all of those energies try every day to make us give up and lose hope. But I've learned the lesson of not letting go of hope. I've had to learn to let go of everything else in my life, but hope and love were the two things I refused to let go of. And I really believe that today is a day where we see the power of love, and we see that, yes, we have hope, and especially when we come together, that each and every one of us absolutely can make a difference, because each and every one of us do make a difference. But when we come together, when we join our hearts and our minds and our spirits and our bodies, the sky's the limit. And we could do things like protect ancient trees so they can stand for another millennium.
All right. I want to thank Estelle Fennell of KMUD Radio for those audio cuts. And KMUD is in Garberville, by the way. All right. Thank you, Estelle. Julia has been visited in her tree perch top by Woody Harrelson, Joan Baez, Bonnie Raitt, Buddhist monks, and other luminaries, and including Earth First Radio Network reporter Eon Blues. She's received a number of awards, including the Good Housekeeping Magazine Most Influential Woman of 1998 Award. Now, the agreement reached with Pacific Lumber Maxam Corporation is in a deeded covenant similar to a conservation easement that permanently protects the tree luna and a 200-foot buffer around it, totaling approximately 2.9 acres. Luna stands in an already cut timber harvest plan that was helicopter logged during the first winter that Julia was up in the tree. The covenant was purchased for $50,000 by the friends of Julia of various kinds and sorts. Pacific Lumber will donate the $50,000 to Humboldt State University's School of Forestry for a scholarship fund for Pacific Lumber employees and their children, and thereby gets a tax deduction, I'm sure. Contrary to rumors that were circulating in the media, Julia's freedom of speech did not have limitations put on it as part of the agreement. She did agree not to trespass on Pacific Lumber property, but she will be granted visitation rights. And Julia is now on the East Coast. I believe she was on the David Letterman show last night. That was solstice. When she returns to California and sets up a schedule of public appearances, Uncle Dennis will let you know. Or you can call the Headwaters hotline at 510-835-6303. That's 510-835-6303. And welcome back to the ground, Julia Butterfly. In other activist news, the feud between environmentalists and loggers over commercial tree cutting in Minnesota's forests is being transformed into a fight over the separation of church and state. A group of loggers has filed a lawsuit against the U.S. Forest Service and two environmental groups claiming the Forest Service has buckled under to the group's philosophy of deep ecology, which regards the natural world as sacred. That philosophy, the lawsuit maintains, amounts to a religion, and that means the Forest Service has violated the First Amendment prohibition on governments favoring and endorsing one religion over another, according to the suit. The loggers want a federal judge to stop the environmentalists and the government from limiting access to timber unless they can prove they are acting for non-religious reasons. They are also asking for $600,000 in damages to make up for lost business. This is so ludicrous, said Ray Fenner, executive director of St. Paul-based Superior Wilderness Action Network, one of the groups being sued. The other group is the New Mexico-based Forest Guardians. If this goes any further, every U.S. citizen should be scared to death, Fenner said. All three defendants have asked the court to dismiss the case, saying it is meritless. The heart of the case is whether deep ecology is a religion at all. Of course not, said Michael Pinto, president of the Institute for Deep Ecology based in Occidental, California. Religion is faith-based. Deep ecology is science-based. Pinto says the philosophy, which has attracted worldwide interest since being introduced in the 1970s, is simply an insightful way of looking at the interconnectedness of human beings and nature. But the loggers argue that it is similar to Native American religions that place nature at the center of creation. Bron Taylor, a professor of environmental studies, religion, and earth ethics at the University of Wisconsin in Oshkosh, Bron Taylor said deep ecology should be considered a religion if the court's definition didn't require a belief in a divine being. Much environmentalism draws upon the idea that nature is sacred, says Taylor, who has written and taught extensively on the subject. The Forest Guardians, a 10-year-old Santa Fe, New Mexico-based group that wants to end commercial logging on national forests, has challenged about 300 federal timber sales in the last 3 years, but has only won about 50. The Superior Wilderness Action Network has filed 12 challenges, but Fenner counts just one outright victory. Still, to loggers, even delays can mean a big financial loss, said Larry Jones, executive director of the Tower-based Associated Contract Loggers, a coalition of individual loggers and companies that filed the lawsuit. If I lose a month of production, that's 10% of my revenue, Jones said. Logging in Minnesota's national forests has dropped by nearly 25% over the last 4 years, naturally. Nationally, only about 4% of logging is done on federal land, but some loggers in northern Minnesota rely on national forests for up to 40% of their income. Forests cover about 33% of Minnesota's land area, and the Forest Service owns 12.5% of Minnesota lands. The case could have far-reaching implications, said Michael Stokes Paulson, a University of Minnesota law professor and national expert on law and religion. If the loggers were to win, Baptists could be sued for lobbying for gambling restrictions, and Catholics could be sued for promoting restrictions on partial birth abortion, he said. Who knows? Maybe baseball fans could be sued if their fervent devotion to a team led to a bond referendum for a new stadium. All right. Well, we're going to take a little musical break here and listen to, I believe I've got, Max Am's On the Horizon. This is a Daryl Cherney tune off the cassette called Timber.
Texas was born a tailor's son. From the killing of the Indians, he learned how the West was won. His name was Charlie Hurwitz, and he terrorized the land. His killing field was Wall Street, and his gang was called Mac Sam. Mac Sam's on the horizon, an outlaw gang, a raiding company. Mac Sam's on the horizon. Ain't no one safe with Hurwitz running free. Hurwitz stole Pacific lumber, used junk bonds to get cash. Left the mighty redwood forest a pile of broken slash. I think Boski made his millions when a Mac Sam's deal was done. $1 billion paid with redwood blood and the workers' pension fund. Mac Sam's on the horizon. $10 seen in every redwood tree. Mac Sam's on the horizon. Ain't no one safe with Hurwitz running free. With the patterns of simplicity, Charlie Hurwitz took his coal from the aluminum of Kaiser to the oil of MCO. He blew $1.25 billion in the savings and loan scam. He put a guilty to insurance fraud. Where's the justice for Mac Sam? Mac Sam's on the horizon, and they're taking over everything they see. Mac Sam's on the horizon. Ain't no one safe with Hurwitz running free. Now in the mountains of Rancho Mirage, where the bighorn sheep do dwell, where there used to be a ram in ground at the Ritz-Carlton Hotel. And in Tucson, Arizona, amidst the flight of urban sprawl, build the condos and a golf course while the water tables fall. Now Earthers offers a reward, $5,000 we will pay. Whoever captures Charles Hurwitz, and what's that for you play? But Mac Sam's on the horizon, can't you see what's going down? Turn the forests into deserts, and the deserts into towns. Mac Sam's on the horizon, and there's no one left to fight but you and me. Mac Sam's on the horizon, ain't no one safe with her, it's running free.
And Earth First Radio will be right back.